Welcome to Happily Family. I'm Cecilia
And
Hilke,
I'm Jason Hilke.
and we are delighted today to have Dana Denning with us. Dana is the founder of Nourished Nest, an online holistic interior design and coaching resource that helps families create homes designed to meet core needs: nervous system regulation, connection, rest, and the reduction of environmental triggers. As a mother of a differently wired child, Dana understands the transformative power of small, affordable changes in fostering family well-being. Welcome, Dana. It's great to have
Good
you.
to have you here, Dana.
It's amazing to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I look forward to talking to you about this very interesting hot topic.
Yeah, and I just wanted to start because this is a topic that doesn't get talked about enough, about how the environment affects our behavior, our emotions. Can you just talk about why that is true to start our conversation?
Yeah, certainly. I think it's just an overall lack of awareness. People, when they think of their home, they think of the aesthetic aspect of their home, not necessarily all of the hidden triggers that exist in their environment. And so many people are just not aware of that aspect. And I think that's why holistic interior design is such an important tool to put in your toolbox when you're thinking about managing your home, that it's so much more than aesthetics. It's about how your home feels. And by looking at that aspect, you can really understand how to support the nervous system of yourself and your family and create spaces that everyone feels safe in and rested and connected. And instead of all the overwhelm and being on edge.
Yeah. And I would love just for some background information for folks that are new to this conversation, since we've talked to you before, and understand a little bit, how does holistic interior design, how is it different from just regular interior design?
It really is that difference between aesthetics and how the home feels. So, as a holistic interior designer, I really look behind or beyond those aesthetics and look at the whole person that is living in that environment. So, how sight, sound, touch, smell, and even air quality interact with our bodies and our emotions. And really, over the years, I've seen this approach really transform not only my own family, but also the lives of families really struggling with anxiety, sensory sensitivities, and just overall stress at home.
So, first of all, I'll say completely confess that I really am terrible about design, not just in the home, but design like just in general. But I'm really picky about it. Like, I really, when I see something that I like, I'm like, oh yeah, I like that. But I don't know the first thing about how to do it. And I recognized when we were teaching in the preschool classroom that we were in, the school was very much based on Reggio Emilia style schools, and environment was a big part of that. And I started to recognize the impact that environment has on just everything that we're building upon, right? Like, it just created an environment, a place where we could do the work, and it created like a stable environment, like a platform or a foundation upon which we could then work from. And we weren't fighting against all the environmental stuff in addition to what else might happen to be going on. And it was aesthetically beautiful. I mean, it was enjoyable for us to be in at the same time. And it's a preschool classroom, right? Like, it was really surprising to me that a preschool classroom could be something that would be aesthetically pleasing, and there was more to it than just the aesthetics. It was also about accessibility and creating an environment that kids, felt comfortable in. And it started to touch on a little bit of what you do. And maybe there was more happening than I was even aware of around that environment, but I just really noticed the impact environment had on the kids and on us as adults in that classroom.
Yeah, I just wanted to add in that teaching philosophy, the environment is called the third teacher. And I would love to hear a story, if you could share with us, of a family that you worked with or your own family, so that it would paint a picture for the folks listening of how like big and widespread these changes could be when we start being more intentional about the environment
how it could impact.
and how
I
it,
don't.
yeah, impacts the family.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate you mentioning the school environment, because this work is being done in more and more school environments, in hospitals, in jails, even just really considering how much of an effect the environment truly has. So I would say, wherever your listeners are joining from, just know your environment is shaping your daily life in this very chaotic world that we live in. And now it's having more of an impact in our residential environments. And that truly is the work that I'm doing. And a lot of people just don't even realize how much it really affects them. So to start, I would say our nervous systems are constantly kind of reading the surroundings, kind of scanning the environment for safety or danger. And that's why some rooms feel instantly calming, but others feel instantly really tense. And it's really grounded in neuroscience. And kind of going back to the chapter that I wrote in the book, really focusing on how your home can become kind of your strongest ally, or your strongest tool in supporting emotional regulation and connection in your home. And it could be done with things that you already have on hand. It's not expensive renovations. It's not anything that's overwhelming. It's things that are very accessible that you have access to. And to share a story kind of for my own family, the way it transformed for us is we just converted a corner in our home into kind of a calming, sensory, safe refuge, if you will. And it was during a season that my son was really struggling. He was struggling with anxiety and sensory overload and so many other things. And everything we were trying was not sticking. And by this small shift in our home, it really shows that just simple intentional changes in your environment can create just this cozy spot to decompress. And it's predictable as like a safety zone. And it really helps to signal that safety back to your nervous system. And it gave us everything we needed in that moment of just, we were in chaos mode. And it gave us a chance not only for my son to reset, but my husband and I to reset, especially when emotions ran really high. It was that safety switch for us. So it was just one of those things where it just really led me to develop the hyper awareness to our environment and the things that I could change within our environment. And now that I'm so excited to be able to help other families with that and build that awareness, and give us all a way to kind of reset our emotions when they run high and really have kind of a science-backed framework to help coach them in learning how to do that.
I love it. That sounds great. So I have two questions. We're going to break it down, but I'll give you the two questions so you know where I'm going. First, I want to hear, generally speaking, what are some of the things that you would put in a corner like that? Because we also had one in our preschool classroom. We did a little bit. We tried maybe in our house when our kids were little.
I kind of have my own in our current house.
You
kind of went to it the other day.
That's true. That's true. And then I also want to hear about how it gets used, because I think we're talking about something very different than a timeout corner.
Absolutely.
So first, let's talk about what's in it. Like, what would you consider?
So I always start my families off with one simple, powerful shift, and that is the calming corner. And some simple ways to get started would be just pick a spot in your home. It can be anywhere, really. Every home is a little bit different, but it could be a corner of your living room, like what worked for us. It could be a bedroom. It could be the end of a hallway. And I encourage people not to think of their home as like very cookie cutter, like you have to use the living room for just this. Or I've had families do it in their dining room because they don't use their dining room any longer. So just get rid of all of those outdated preconceptions about how to use the space. Just do what feels right to you and your family. And really start with something, again, considering the senses, start with like a soft place to sit down, a soft chair, or lie on a cushion or a bean bag or a blanket. And then include some sensory items. That's always important too. One or two sensory soothing items. It could be a textured throw. Some people are soothed by plants and nature around them. It could be a soft lamp. Or just a calming natural scent. In our case, we used a diffuser with lavender, which is very calming. And keeping it clutter-free is really important too, because that is very overstimulating to most people. And you want to give your brain a break and kind of give yourself like a visual exhale in that space. So it's not something that is going to continue to stimulate your nervous system. So that's really where you start. And I would say families I've worked with often see immediate changes when they make those small, simple steps. And one parent told me that their child really struggled with meltdowns. And now it's their go-to place right after school to really decompress. And I've had another family tell me, wow, this is something. The calming corridor created a safe space for their child who happens to be neurodivergent. And it's completely shifted how their evenings feel just by having that one designated space for them to decompress.
So
Love that.
you kind of hinted at it there about how one kiddo is using it for his decompression or to decompress, to kind of regulate. Could you say more about how to be viewing it as something that is not a timeout corner or a place to like say, okay, you're spun up right now. Go to your corner now, and it all of a sudden becomes a punishment or something like that. Like it can be very easily like kind of twisted into that. So not intentionally, maybe, or maybe, but like how can we view that? How can we talk about that with our kiddos?
I'm so glad you brought that up because it really is a mindset shift. It's totally not a timeout. I call it a tune in. It's a place to tune into your body. And I encourage, especially at the very beginning, make your child a partner in creating this space. And they're more apt to go to that when they're starting to feel the need, but they may not feel the need at first. And that's really where it's important for the parents to model what that looks like. And I encourage the parents to start to use that space themselves to tune into their own body and figure out where they're at so they can co-regulate much better with their child and show them how to do it. And over time, that just becomes that space that the child feels safe in.
Great. And I wanted to also just have you talk a little bit more about when you said like having sensory items. Like, well, I know what the term means because Cecilia, being an occupational therapist, pediatric occupational therapist, talked a lot about sensory stuff. We've put together a calming plan about sensory items. So it's very much in our vocabulary, but it may not be in everyone's. Could you say a little bit more about what does that mean, have sensory items? You talked about a throw, you talked about scent. Could you say a few more things or explain what those are?
Yeah, so there it's very tactile. And it's almost like a fidget toy, if you will. Like if you think of some of the there's some blankets out on the market right now that are big, chunky, woven pieces that are very sensory friendly for kids that really just need that tactile sense. And there's also weighted blankets that are another great element to layer in. So we had gone to occupational therapy for many years, and I became kind of a student to just all the benefits of what that does. So it's the proprioception, just kind of that weight on the body to help calm it, is something that is really valuable. And it just makes you think about the things that you bring into your home as far as decor or just elements that you use every day that can really help. And sometimes it could be, that's where I caution my families about bringing in non-natural items. So if it's a synthetic blanket that's really scratchy, that's going to have a negative effect and not really create the calming corner that you intend for your child if it's something that just doesn't have a great feel. In terms of scent, Some kids can't handle it, and you'll know not to introduce scent into that environment. But really, if it's a diffuser with natural scent, encouraging them to kind of play around with the one that works best for their kid. And there's also some great things. There's parasympathetic oil out there that really helps as a combination of scents that really help you calm pretty quickly. I use that one on my husband.
I've not heard of that before. That sounds great.
Maybe you should use that on me. That'd be
I
helpful.
have to try
It's
it.
going to calm me down. The other thing that we've talked a little bit about with you is how this is also good for parents. And you know, the calming corner, it sounds like primarily we're talking about something for kids. Is do you recommend the there be a corner or a space for kids and a space for the adults? Is that something to be shared? Is that what would you say would be a next step for the parents to be able to create a space for themselves?
Yeah, I've seen it be a combination. So in my family's instance, we've just created one corner, and that happens to work for all of us. In some families, the parents need a separate space. So there's lots of things that you can do to create that space for yourself as a parent. And one of the things that I recommend, if it's not a calming corner, really invest your time into looking at making your bedroom really the most nourishing space for restful, relaxed sleep that you possibly can. It's something that I work with families on, is just creating kind of that restorative, sensory safe space for them, because we all know how critical sleep is, again, in co-regulation and being able to be there for your kid. I'd say for most parents, the bedroom is the place to start for them.
Yeah.
That's great.
I wanted to ask, because I remember in your chapter you mentioned lighting. And that's
Yes.
something that maybe is harder to modify, but what are the problems with lighting, and how do you work with families to change it?
Yeah, that's kind of a gradual change. And it's another thing, once you kind of start your calming space, looking for other simple changes that you can make in your home, and lighting is a key example. I would say starting with harsh overhead lighting. That is a place that it could be fluorescent lighting, which is really terrible for you. You can really, if you don't want to invest in swapping out to LED bulbs that are a nice soft white light, even just putting them on a dimmer is something really simple. We have every single overhead light in our home on a dimmer, and that way it can really be adjusted to fit your mood and the needs of your home and still be present when you need it. But oftentimes we end up just turning that light off and then really relying on nice soft table lamps, or just more of a ambient light instead of just the overhead light that most people just switch on and don't think about.
Yeah. I don't know if you like them as much as I do, but I just always love like little white Christmas like twinkle lights. I think they're so nice.
They are. There's so many people that integrate that into their calming corner, and it just creates just such a magical, special place for kids and families to just have that kind of that twinkly glow. It just makes people happy and improves mood.
Yeah.
So what would you say to parents? They're like, this sounds like a good idea. This sounds like something I'd like to do. And I can do that safety corner thing. That sounds very reasonable. Then what? Now what do I do? How do I look at my house? How do I like my house decorated a certain way, or I have no idea how to decorate my house. That's my case. What's the next steps for families? Like thinking about this, they're becoming aware of it. They start with the safety corner. Then what?
I really say once families realize the positive impact that this calming corner can have, they can really expand those principles of holistic interior design into all areas of their home. But it's really kind of grounding them and understanding the environmental effects on their nervous system that we've been talking about. And just making those simple science-backed design shifts that actually really last once they make them. So one key area to explore, I kind of mentioned the bedroom as being something that would be top of the list to take a look at, because it is so important to get that restorative sleep. Another area, which is kind of an invisible thing that you can look at, is how you can breathe easier in your home. And that's improving indoor air quality and reducing hidden stressors, those invisible stressors in your home. And it could be anything up to and including mold, which in our case is something that we had experienced. And it's a pretty scary thing when you really start to dig in and see the impacts that those things can have in your home. It's also toxic cleaners and just those candles that you get from your aunt on Christmas that are laden with harsh chemicals. You don't think about those things. You really have to figure out, like, what are those simple swaps that you can make gradually to just create a better, just breathing easier in your home and creating just a safer, healthier indoor air environment. And then one that is really popular is clearing the clutter. That is something that I hear hands down from so many families just trying to get a handle on clutter in their home. And it can be physical clutter, it could be digital clutter, it could be emotional clutter. There's so many layers to it, and it can be pretty complex, but really simplifying the visual and energetic noise in your home to create more calm. And again, that's kind of another visible yet invisible element that, again, just building that awareness to what those things are and what you can do about them to finally solve that problem that maybe you weren't even aware of in your space.
So it sounds like the next priority after safety, or after
The
a
calm
nice
corner.
calming corner, is bedroom.
Yes.
After that, starting to look at possibly environmental,
Or clutter.
what we're breathing, and then also clutter. Seems like those are kind of like some high priority areas that you touch on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm remembering when our kids were young and what our home looked like. It was 950 square feet. We joked about it that it felt like living on a boat because you knew where everybody was at all times. And
You
our,
could reach almost everything from
yeah.
anywhere in the house.
And it was great. I loved our home. And it was interesting to try to find spots for our kids to have privacy because they shared a bedroom. Oftentimes, and we did get creative. I remember one conversation in particular where with our oldest who really wanted just some space to himself. And we're like, okay, you can go. We have the garage. We were in California at that time. So it's like you can go outside almost any time of the year. It's fine. We could set up a tent. You could hang out in the bathtub. We just like threw out all the, we could put a corner in the living room. And most often it settled on their beds. They had a bunk bed. But then I'm also thinking maybe that's not the greatest idea because of the associating the bed with sleep. Does that kind of muddy the waters if we have a calming corner that's also a bed?
You know what? That's a great call out because, yes, some families do struggle with that, especially in the age of digital everything. And kids really have a hard time tuning out and separating those two things. So it very much, if you have a very small environment and that's the best opportunity for you, then absolutely. But I would say in most cases, I would advise trying to separate the two. So there's a clear definition for the child to have clear cues. And especially when it comes to bedtime, they really need that transition and they need to be away from their electronics and being able to make a smoother transition to actually relax and reset their bodies.
Yeah, that makes total sense. For our particular story, in the end of it, we decided that a tent in the backyard was going to be the best thing. And so we got it all set up. And the goal was to get away from the younger sibling. And then after he got it all set up, the very first thing he did was like, "Hey, you want to come in?" and invited his younger sibling in. So anyway, it was hilarious. But yeah, it reminds me of just how creative we needed to get with the space. And it was these small, like your work, it was these small little tweaks over time because I don't know, even just like listing calming corner and the bedroom, I was like, oh, I'm getting a little overwhelmed. Just little tweaks over time as you see what's working for your child, what's not working for them, what they need, continuing to check in with them about what's working, what's not. Do you ever tell a child, hey, you should go to your calming corner, or do they just go to it all by themselves?
We want them to go to it all by themselves. As I said before, they may not do it immediately, and that's why you just really model what that can look like in that transition to that corner, and eventually they pick that up. But yeah, it's not punishment. Again, it's the tune in, not the time out, and that is so critical in the approach. We want it to be that sense of safety for them and that level of comfort that they're not getting from any of the other spaces in your home.
And I like the you said it, but I want to just emphasize that we model it. Like if we have a space that we as the adults can also go to, it helps model it. And sometimes we may be able, we may need to actually express that's what we're doing because they may not realize that's where we're going or something. But I like the idea of modeling it.
Yeah, and that's a really important point is expressing verbally, like, this is what I'm doing. And that way they're not left guessing. It's not confusing for them. They just are very clear on kind of they need to start listening to their body. And over time, it's really cool to see the families, the children and the families be able to really tune in to their bodies. I wish more people in this world could do that. And it's just such a valuable skill. That they pick up just from this kind of calming corner in your home. And it can be really powerful.
I love that. Dana, as we're wrapping up here, do you have anything else that you want to add or you want to leave us all with?
Yeah, I would just say your home doesn't have to be perfect to be powerful. And even those small changes can really transform the way that your family feels every day. And if you're looking for ways to figure this out and where to start in your home, I did create something to help that out. So it's called the Mini Home Review. And it's a simple 2-minute quiz that will help you identify three small shifts that you could make right away to better support your child's nervous system and your own. And most importantly, I would say, I want you to leave here knowing your home is not just a backdrop. It is probably one of the strongest tools for safety that you have in your toolbox. And it can lead to just the feeling of connection, better connection with your family, safety, and even lead to healing like it did for my son. And there's just so much power in that simple change.
That's awesome.
And
The
lastly, if you want to learn more, you can certainly go to my website, Nourish Nest Design, or you can hang out with me on Instagram, where I really encourage people to DM me and tell me all about their calming corner.
Awesome. The mini home review, is that a free service or a free quiz that they can take?
Yeah, free quiz on the website. Really simple. Again, just 2 minutes of their time, and you will walk away with at least three things that you can do immediately.
That's great. We'll include a link to that in the speaker notes so people can go take that and then also find out more about all that you have to offer because it's so powerful, like you were saying. And I think, at least for me, it can be overwhelming. And so it's nice to have a guide and have some direction with that. So I appreciate what you've shared with us here, given us the starting point for being able to make some big change in our home and for us and for our kids. And thanks for talking to us here. And we look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Really appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank Bye-bye. You.